After the brief but somber introduction, the first music I played for you, Lucia di Lammermoor opens on the grounds of Ravenswood Castle in the mountains of the Lammermoor district of Scotland. This land is now owned by Enrico Ashton. His retainers have gathered, and one of their number, Normano, exhorts the other men to search everywhere. We don't know yet what they're searching for, but we soon find out. It's a very vigorous, incisive opening for the opera.
Percorrete le spiagge vicine,
andiamo alle spiagge vicine,
della torre le vaste rovine,
della torre le vaste rovine,
fa del vertice tutte mistero,
torna a mandano in cuore.
Normano sees that Enrico is distressed. It's all because of Edgardo, the last survivor of the House of Ravenswood. For years, the Ravenswoods and the Ashtons have been mortal enemies. Enrico's the baritone and our villain. He feels that he's being laughed at by Edgardo and that the power of the Ashtons is about to be lost. There's only one person who can restore it, the rich nobleman Enrico wants his sister Lucia to marry. But Lucia's rejected this idea, which makes Enrico furious. Our bass, Raimondo, enters the picture. He's Lucia's tutor, and he makes clear that she can't be blamed for having no interest in marriage. She's mourning the death of her mother, and her feelings should be respected. Normano scorns all that. He says she's burning with love. Now he tells Enrico a story. Lucia was walking on a path in the park near her mother's grave, when a bull came charging towards her. Suddenly, someone shot the bull dead. Lucia fell in love with her rescuer, and he with her. That man was, of course, Edgardo. This dialogue sets the stage for the opera's first big number. It's Enrico's aria, in which he vents his consuming rage. This isn't quite the classic bel canto baritone solo. The lines are shorter, and there's a bit more brawn in it, but it still needs elegance and polish in the singing. It reminds us that nowhere in Enrico's role can we forget the pride and the desire for power that are vital to this character. The retainers return from their search. Having exhausted themselves, they were resting in a courtyard near the ruined tower of Wolf's Crag. Suddenly, a pale man rode past them, and they recognized him as, yes, Edgardo. This is, surprisingly enough, one of Donizetti's quieter choruses, setting a relaxed mood, but things turn more dramatic once the men describe the pale rider. Now Enrico's beside himself. Time for a cabaletta, the faster and more energetic section of a bel canto solo scene, always signaling a reiteration, decision, or change of mind. Enrico's hell-bent on revenge. Edgardo and Lucia will both feel the force of his rage. I'll give you the cabaletta in its repeat, which includes Raimondo commenting that they're all now surrounded by a cloud of terror. We hear, too, that even Macho Enrico has some florid lines where the singer needs terrific flexibility. This concluding section is often cut in performance because many baritones don't have the expertise in florid singing that was expected of all vocal categories in Donizetti's time. We move into the next scene with probably the lengthiest harp solo in opera. There's no trace of darkness to this mood. It's serenely romantic, and the writing shows an irresistible grace and delicacy. Lucia arrives late that night at a park on the Ravenswood Castle grounds. She's with her companion, Elisa, and she's expecting to see Edgardo. Elisa warns her that Enrico could appear at any moment. Lucia can't bring herself even to glance at the nearby fountain. She tells Elisa the story of one of Edgardo's ancestors. Wild with jealousy, he stabbed the girl who loved him. She fell into the fountain, and her body lay buried there. Lucia's even seen her shadow. In her aria, Regnava nel Silenzio, Lucia gives more details. She paints a picture of the night, the moon shining on the fountain, the breeze, the dead girl's appearance as a shadow, and her calling to Lucia. The girl vanished, and the water turned blood red. Yes, Lucia does have a very lively imagination. The beginning of the aria is inward-looking. Then, at the end of the first verse, suddenly there's that brief, horrified exclamation, "Ah!" And that's enough for us to know that Lucia is profoundly affected by just thinking about the ghost. I think it's best when the soprano doesn't throw in too much ornamentation here. It's the mood that's most important at this moment. There will be enough time for vocal display later. Elisa warns Lucia to beware of this terrible omen. she should give Edgardo up. But Lucia declares that when he swears to be true to her, sadness turns to joy. When he's with her, heaven opens to her. There's a glorious lift to the phrases of her cabaletta. It's great when the singer's technique allows her to have some fun and play with her phrases, showing her own musical creativity in adding ornamentation to the lines, as Donizetti's singers would have done. Here's Edita Gruborova the first time she sings a portion of the cabaletta. We'll then hear the same music repeated with ornamentation. Finally, Edgardo arrives. He apologizes for asking to see Lucia at this unexpected hour, but he's leaving in the morning for France. He says very little about what he's planning to do there, but clearly it's a diplomatic mission that could significantly affect Scotland's future. He anticipates that Lucia's brother will soon appear. Edgardo's planning to make peace with Enrico and ask him for Lucia's hand. This frightens Lucia, and she begs Edgardo to keep their love a secret. He answers bitterly, "Isn't it enough that he killed my father and stole my inheritance? He hates me." Their duet begins with his declaring that on the tomb of his father, he swore vengeance. But then when he met Lucia, his feelings changed, even if his vow of revenge remains unbroken. Edgardo begins with short, intense phrases before the beauty of the Donizetti line takes over. It's fairly minimally accompanied, so we can concentrate on what Edgardo has to say. A test place for every Lucia is her response to Edgardo's first words on a soft high B flat. It's nothing more than, ah, but tremendous apprehension and anxiety can be communicated in that single note.
Sulla tomba, che rinserra, il tradito genitore. Al tuo sangue, eterna guerra, io giurai nel mio furore, ma ti vidi in cor mio nacque altro affetto e mira tacque. Pur quel vuoto potrei compirlo ancora.
Dete pagata, dete frena,
Lucia.
Edgardo and Lucia swear to be faithful to each other, and Edgardo declares that God now recognizes them as bride and groom. They exchange rings, but then he declares that he must leave her. Now comes the heart of the duet, the most poetic passage in the libretto. Each in turn sings, "My ardent sighs will come to you on the breezes, and in the murmuring sea you'll hear the echo of my lamenting." You could call this the love theme from Lucia. It's one of the most captivating of all Donizetti's melodies, and considering he wrote nearly 70 operas, that's really saying something. It calls for all the honeyed tone and breath control at each singer's command. As you can hear, that opening phrase is very long. Because of that, some singers, to make life easier, break it in half. Verranno a te sull'aure breath I miei sospiri ardenti. But it's much more effective when it's all one uninterrupted phrase, as done here by both Gruborova and Krauss. Edgardo finally forces himself to pull away from Lucia. "Remember, heaven has united us," he cries, and then rushes away, leaving Lucia in despair.